Hello, we are back with a brand new episode of the 13th Man Podcast. I hope you guys are all staying safe out there. It is Shane alongside Frankie, and we have an interesting week in the NFL to talk about.
We do. Can we? Are we also allowed to whine a little bit about stuff?
I mean, yeah.
Sorry, I'm just trying to get this all shared and everything.
Yeah, we're not going to be on Twitter right now. We will be on Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook. It seems like Twitter has been giving us some problems, so we're trying out Twitch, and we'll see. We'll go from there.
Yeah, and hopefully it's a fun little episode with some NFL. Not much CFL talk this week, which is a little disappointing because it felt like we were getting back on the CFL train a little bit. But I guess everything's like that's just too good to be true at this point. So whatever.
I mean, they're 7 months away. So,
well, actually, you know what? You know what I did see before we started hopped on here, Shane?
Ooh, I don't know. But you didn't tell me.
Edmonton was planning on carrying an extra quarterback and quarantining him away from the rest of the team in case somebody got sick if there was a season.
I mean, that's smart. I'm okay with that.
Are you gonna say that's smart if I told you the Buffalo Bills are doing that same thing right now?
Yeah, and more teams should be doing it.
Yeah, I think the Denver Broncos may have taught us that.
But, like, I'm pretty sure that's what Pittsburgh's doing.
Who do they have? Is it Ducky that's – Ducky's yeah, not Ducky, isolated? No. He's been in the dressing room.
I don't think so.
Because I saw sure. – well, Shane, I'm pretty you, sure want, you want to talk about the Steelers players on TikTok? There we go. That's where I saw Ducky Hodges.
That's interesting because he should be – because, like, they have four quarterbacks. I figured – that would be the reason why, is to make sure that they're, you know, one of them is staying away. I don't think he's in the quarterback room, though.
Yeah, well, I don't know. That's just weird that he's in anywhere at all. But
I mean, he's whatever. Allowed in the, he's allowed in the, you know, to practice and whatnot.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know. But I get like, is that it for the CFL? Is that all we have?
I think so.
Christ. Rough week, eh?
Oh, man. It's been a rough week all around, to say the least.
I heard also that Edmonton is looking at using Express.
Not really. Help.
And I also saw some Edmonton fans that were using pictures of Thomas the Tank Engine to say how easy it would be to make fun of them.
Yeah, and, no, that's fair.
You know what? You can do that with any team you want, though. If you look hard enough to pick something apart, easy. You know what I mean? Like, I think Express is a pretty nice name. I think you can have some cool logos. I think you can have some cool uniforms. I mean, obviously, you're not going to go away from the green and gold and the double E's, but... you know, you could get some pretty cool secondary logos in there. Get a nice choo-choo train moving. Think about the in-stadium experience, though, you know? Get a first down and the train whistle start going.
I mean, that'd be pretty cool, not going to lie.
It would be. I think you could have a pretty good in-stadium experience when that
happens. I think so. I mean, it depends really on how you want to do things. But yeah, I agree. It'd be interesting.
Like here, we got the chainsaws. The Bombers have the cannons. I mean, you look at teams in other sports leagues, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have the pirate ship that fires cannons anytime they score a touchdown, which last week wasn't very often, I guess, but
wasn't like, sad that they had more points against the Saints than the fifth string led Denver Broncos did.
I mean, yeah. Does that mean Kendall Hinton is a better quarterback than Tom Brady? Because Hinton only threw two interceptions this week. Brady threw three.
Ooh, that's a good one.
So Hinton's a better quarterback than Tom Brady. And
Tom Brady's overrated. He's not
the Josh Allen trumps them both.
Cole Beasley's the better quarterback.
Bro, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear it. We would be showing a clip of that right now, Shane, but the NFL doesn't like anything fun. So apparently we aren't allowed to, even though that's fair use. That's literally the definition of fair use.
Yeah, we've been having some issues with some copyright things on YouTube and on. So like we're gonna be cutting it with the clips for a little bit.
We are the definition of the small guy who's not going to get anything to go our way. So we're just going to give it, given.
Yeah, you know, it's not worth fighting. But honestly, though, like, man, it's maybe we'll just drop YouTube altogether and just go onto Twitch.
Twitch seems like a more forgiving platform, though, eh? Like, yeah, am I wrong to say that? But I also feel like Twitch is mostly gaming stuff, right? So we'll have to figure out a way to involve some gaming stuff as well. I don't know how we do that.
I mean, we could do a sim league.
I don't want, like, bro, I thought about it, but, like, at the same time, I don't want to rip Rod off. Like, Rod's got his thing. Rod did that. That's his thing. I don't know what we would do.
Let's go one-on-one, Madden 21.
There definitely have to be some Madden stuff. Like, I don't know what we could do unless we did. Maybe,
how would you guys feel about a game of the week? I know it's late in the season, obviously, so maybe not this year. But, you know, how about next year? We do a Madden game of the week. Kind of like Rod did. But, you know, we pick a game and we sim it. A game that's going on, obviously. We pick, you know, a matchup and we sim it. And we see how the outcomes are. And
Realistically, too, if we wanted to. And, again, this kind of encroaches on Rod's territory. But you can get CFL rosters in Madden. And I know the rules are different and all that. And it's not the same, but you can still sim those games in Madden.
100%.
Like, Maximum Football is kind of, you know, that's...
it's under some heat right now, that's for sure.
But that's Rod's thing. Like, I'm not trying to rip off Rod. We don't want to do that.
Give us some ideas of what we can do with the Twitch channel.
Hey, get a 32-man league going.
GM connected?
Yeah.
Does 921 have that?
Yeah. Yeah, of course. Hey, man, I got I'm the Jaguars right now. Me and my buddy just started one up. I'm the Jaguars. Jalen Hurts is my quarterback. Just traded D.D. Westbrook for a first-round pick. I got a nice, cool 3 first-round picks now. We're chilling. Everything's good. Look, man, Jalen Hurts, the king of the read option and triple option.
Do you think he starts sometime this
year? Can we talk? Who was that commentary team for that game?
I have no idea. I did not watch it. Because I didn't watch a single game this week.
Whoever that dude in the booth was continuously was saying, put Jalen Hurts in, put Jalen Hurts in. Like, dude, shut up. They're going to get rocked either way. Putting Jalen Hurts in right now to get fed to the Wolves is not better. It's not going to make a difference. Like, Carson Wentz is that franchise, right? They spent how much money on him? Giving up on him now isn't exactly an option for the Eagles. As much as I want to see Jalen Hurts play, it's not going to happen.
Trade him. Trade him to Chicago where they need a quarterback.
Well, too late for that now.
I still can't believe that Deshaun Watson, Patrick Mahomes were taken after Trubisky.
Yeah. Well, does Trubisky have a chance to rebound now? Like, it's got to be over, right? This has to be it. They have to decline that player option or that team option.
Probably. They'll probably be, but, like, do I think he can be a good quarterback? Probably.
But what? I disagree with that. I think Mitch Trubisky's career will be defined as a backup. If he continues to play football.
See, I feel like he's a better version of Josh Rosen, and people are playing Josh Rosen as the next Tampa starter once Brady retires.
I'm not on board with either. Like, I think Rosen probably likely will step in.
I think we'll see Trubisky in Canada.
Ooh. Do you think so?
If there's a quarterback in the NFL, a first or second string quarterback right now that, you know, could make the jump to the CFL, it's Trubisky.
Mitch Trubisky didn't know what a hard count was when he was drafted.
Yeah, because he played 1 year. He was a 1 year starter.
But he didn't know what a hard count was. How are you going to trust him? For a guy, you watch him play, he still doesn't know how to run an NFL offense. He doesn't know nothing. No, how are you going to send him to a different sport? But how are you going to send him to a different sport but different rules and expect him to pick it up and play? I think he's done.
I don't think so. I think he's just was put in a wrong situation. He was drafted too high. He was hyped up because he was white and out of North Carolina. Like, let's be honest. Trubisky was hyped up because he was white. There is nothing. If you watch his North Carolina tapes, there is nothing that screams second overall pick. Nothing.
Well, like, he was projected to go in the second round in some mock drafts, right?
He started the season as like a fourth round pick. Yeah. He went like 8-5 in college and somehow became the top rated quarterback. Like, I don't get it. If you watch his film.
Well, after Wentz, right? Was that the same draft?
No, it was Garrett that went first.
Okay.
It was Wentz and Goff. Wentz and Goff, right. 2017. That's it was the year before. But like, let's be honest. Trubisky got drafted second overall because he was white. There's no doubt in my mind that race played a factor in it because he was an old school quarterback. He was a pocket quarterback who could run. People were comparing him to fucking Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Like, oh, and ignoring the quarterback. You know, even I thought Mahomes at 10 before Watson was a stretch. Honestly, I'm not going to lie.
Well, maybe it's just. You got to go back and you got to look at what Mahomes was at that point. And it was a guy with a high ceiling, but incredible bust potential.
I think it was the fact that Casey traded up for him. I think that's what confused me, was that Casey traded up to the top 10 to draft him.
Yeah. It's kind of the same situation that, like, I'm not going to try to compare Josh Allen to Patrick Mahomes. We know who's better, right? But it's the same thing where the guy that had a high ceiling knew coming in that there was a solid chance that things wouldn't work out, wouldn't be the quarterback that, you know, he had the potential to be. And in both those situations, I think that's obviously not true, right? Patrick Mahomes turned into the next GOAT, and Josh Allen's going to be just fine.
100%.
You look at some of the other guys taken in those drafts, guys that had incredible hype around them. Mitch Trubisky is one of them. And then you look at guys like Baker Mayfield, who just haven't been.
See, I feel bad for
Mayfield. Okay, good, but
to be fair, I give Mayfield that. I have a lot of sympathy for Mayfield because I don't care who you are. I don't care if you are the best thing since sliced bread. You go into the situation that he has in Cleveland, no quarterback survives. Josh Allen, sure. Patrick Mahomes, Deshaun Watson, none of them survive.
For sure.
You know, I think I would feel more comfortable with putting Mayfield in Chicago and them having success.
Well, that's obvious because any quarterback in the NFL is an upgrade over Mitch Trubisky. I don't think there's a single guy in the NFL that I wouldn't take over Mitch Trubisky. Starter.
Blake Bortles?
Blake Bortles is not a starter.
He was with Jacksonville. And if you had to choose, who would you rather start? Like, there's honestly, though, there's a bunch of quarterbacks that I would pick even as a backup. I take Andy Dalton right now over Mitch Trubisky.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Like, if you're gonna ask me though, Trubisky or Bortles,
I'm taking Bortles, 100%.
You're asking me to pick between what? I'm gonna forget his name. There's a guy on YouTube that I watch all the time. He's got a podcast. That's where he does it. I don't know why I'm forgetting the name, but he said that he thinks that Trubisky and Blake Bortles are the two worst quarterbacks he's had to watch ever.
Jamarcus Russell.
I don't know when he started watching football either, right? But he was he's a college, well, prolonged starters that have been in that played starting roles for a while.
But here's the thing, Bortles wasn't bad. Bortles was never a bad quarterback. You know,
Bortles was never on bad teams.
But he was on bad, like, let's be honest, yeah, he may have never single-handedly won him a game. Bortles reminded me a lot of Alex Smith, you know, with the San Francisco Alex Smith, where he was never good enough to win you a big game, but he also did the things not to cost you games. Unless
they could have beaten New England that year if they had a good quarterback. In fact, they probably would have won that game against New England if they had a good quarterback.
I mean, I think it's also they didn't have that great of receivers. Let's be honest.
No.
The receiving core wasn't that great. Their defense was fantastic. But I think, you know, it's one of those things where we put so much blame on the quarterbacks and not enough on, like, the overall makeup of the team.
I think that's the situation that's happening in Philadelphia. That is not the situation that's happening in Chicago.
No, God, no. That offense is a lot better than than Philly. You know, I think right now, I think you fire the Howie out of Philly, like their GM, you know, and then you get, I think you give Peterson and Wentz one season under a new GM before you make the move to get rid of.
Yeah, like you can't give up. If you give the keys to Jalen Hurts right now, Jalen Hurts is your quarterback. That means you have to move Carson Wentz.
Which, in the if you do this in the offseason, you could do.
I just think it's a bad idea. Like, why not wait another year? Because
he might. This could be his high value. You know.
I don't think so. I don't think.
If you look at Wentz's stats right now, I would not give up a lot if he had another bad year.
I wouldn't give up a lot now.
I wouldn't give up
a lot just because his perceived value to teams around the league likely in the offseason, apart from some teams who are desperate for a quarterback, which at this point I think you're looking at Washington.
No, because Washington seems set on having Smith back.
There's got to be a plan after Smith. And I think if you have a better option than Alex Smith right now, you take it. But again, that won't matter because they're not trading Carson Wentz within the division. So who are you looking at? New England? What would New England give you? Not much, my guess. Like you might get a first round pick, but I don't know. Jacksonville? Like, you're talking about teams that are probably going to be in a position to draft a quarterback in the draft anyway. So
depends on where they fall.
Jacksonville's going to be around the bottom. Like, other than those teams, the Jets are taking Trevor Lawrence. Like, they are not in the hunt for a quarterback. That's their guy.
Who?
Unless the Jets,
Trevor Lawrence. I don't see them getting rid of Darnold. I don't think Darnold's the problem.
Darnold's gone. I'll tell you what. I've watched Sam Darnold.
They'll get rid of.
Go ahead.
I don't think giving up Darnold.
I've watched Sam Darnold twice a year at least against the Bills for the last 3 years. Dude is not it. Dude will never succeed with the Jets.
Well, yeah, because the Jets are. I wouldn't even think Trevor Lawrence could succeed. Realistically, if I'm the Jets, the last thing I'm drafting right now is a quarterback. Your O-line's atrocious. You don't really have much of a running game. You don't have a receiving. Your receivers are trash. Cool, you're going to have Trevor Lawrence, and you're going to be in the same situation you are again in 2021. You have ruined players. You know, you've had players just straight up ask for trades. They want out. You know, you have to look at everything else. I don't think and the reports that Lawrence doesn't want to play for the Jets. And the reports that he could not even declare for the draft if he feels like the Jets are going to draft him. This could turn into if he does get drafted by the Jets, this is going to be a Eli Manning San Diego, Phillip Rivers Giants situation.
Look, as much as all of your reasoning why you don't want to draft Trevor Lawrence makes sense on paper, and that's, you know, if I was a general manager of my team, I'd question if that's really the direction you want to go, because you did just pick Sam Darnold, number 3, but that's not what the Jets are going to do. We all know if they are able to take Trevor Lawrence, they're taking Trevor Lawrence.
But that's the thing, though, is that like if the Jets win, if they get the first pick, which they most likely will, you have to worry about Trevor Lawrence not declaring for the draft.
Yep.
And if you do draft him, he's probably not coming.
But that's...
So why bother with that headache to draft someone that you know doesn't want to be there, that doesn't want to be in the organization?
You have to take into consideration how much cap space they have. If you draft Trevor Lawrence, is that a bigger draw for a free agent offensive lineman or a receiver?
No. Like,
to me... But
because you have Jamal Adams. If I'm a player, I'm not going to that. I'm not going to Adam Gase. I don't care who.
Oh, Adam Gase will not be there. Adam Gase is getting fired the second the season ends. I promise you.
But if he's not.
No, he will be.
Hell, even if the GM is still there, I'm not going to that team. They got rid of Jamal Adams because he was unhappy. They got rid of Le'Veon Bell because he was unhappy. You know, they've gotten rid of, you know, they didn't even re-sign their leading receiver last year in Robbie Anderson. They let him walk to Carolina. How, like, what? So if I'm a player, the only reason why I'm going to the Jets is if I'm overpaying and I'm not giving them 100%. Guarantee it. You're going to have to overpay players to go, and then you're probably not going to get 110% from the players because they're going to want guaranteed money.
As much as I hope that the Jets don't get Trevor Lawrence, because I would much rather watch them continue to suffer with Sam Darnold, because the dude is toast at this point.
He needs out of New York, guaranteed.
He doesn't have any confidence. He can't throw the ball where he wants to. He holds onto the ball too long. Like, he,
because his receivers can't separate.
He turns the ball over. Like, he is the guy that I want my defense to be lining up against twice a year. I'll be fine with that. Keep him.
I mean, I want that team. I want that offense. I don't care about who's in quarterback, because I don't care. I don't think who's in quarterback makes a difference.
Oh, no. Really, I'm saying from the perspective of a Bills fan, that's who I want to have the football. A Sam Darnold with zero confidence.
Even as a Bills fan, I'd be totally okay having Trevor Lawrence line up on the other side of me.
I'd be a hell of a lot more scared of Trevor Lawrence back there.
Not at all, because I don't think that overall team can do any better.
The New York Jets have, what, $80 million in cap space in the offseason?
Something like that.
They're going to use it.
Yeah, I'm like four players.
I don't think so.
And again, you run the risk of having to overpay players to come here to play. And if you're a team, why would you do that?
Potentially, like, maybe the reason that I think that the Jets can turn things around and be good if they get Trevor Lawrence, and it's a pretty, not exactly similar to what the Buffalo Bills did, but when the Bills drafted Josh Allen 7th overall, all of a sudden you start to get guys in, you get Mitch Morse to come in, you get John Brown to come in, Cole Beasley comes in.
Respectable when you drafted Josh Allen. You guys were slumping around mediocrity like 2-3 years before you guys got Josh Allen. You had that respect among players. I don't think anyone respects the Jets organization right now.
But who did the Bills sign when that happened? Guys that nobody else wanted. They came in, they had a chip on their shoulder, they had something to prove. Nobody wanted John Brown. Nobody wanted Cole Beasley. Sure, now you're making the more marquee pickups with trades for Stephon Diggs. But remember, just a couple of years ago, Antonio Brown told the Bills to piss off.
Yeah, because Antonio Brown's a diva.
So
I wouldn't care what Antonio Brown said.
So sure, you don't pick up the biggest name free agents. If you're the New York, you need to be smart. You need to go pick up the guys that want to play for you, that are happy to be. But some guys don't have a choice. And that's exactly it.
Some players don't care. But realistically, you know, the Browns, the Bills at least had, you know, NFL talent.
Could be argued. They started Nathan Peterman at quarterback that year.
Which year? The year before? Like
the year after they drafted Josh Allen.
After they dropped? But wasn't he hurt?
No. Nathan Peterman won that job in preseason.
Oh, yeah. And then he threw like four picks in one game.
And then Josh Allen started.
But realistically, hey, sometimes that's how it goes. You're not just given the job depending on where you're drafted. I think Adam Gase is a problem in New York. And I think that entire organization needs to clean house, because until they clean house, you're going to have these B-level players coming like on your roster. And unless you overpay for somebody, I don't care who you have in quarterback. You're not going to, like, if I'm a coach, why would I go to that organization?
As far as coach goes, I don't know what they're going to do. Like, they got to fire Adam Gase, but who's taking that job?
You need to clean house. You need a clean GM. You need a clean house. A fresh start.
Speaking of cleaning house, Detroit Lions. Matt Patricia's gone.
They fired the wrong guy. Should have fired the GM first. I would have let Patricia finish out the season, but I would have fired their GM at the start at the end of last season. Because I don't think Patricia's a bad coach. I just think that the player, that they didn't have the talent.
This is like the worst spot to be in for Detroit, because they've been in that mindset of, we're almost there. You know, we're a bubble team. We can win 8 to 9 games
another
here.
Another prime player, not, I wouldn't say he's a Hall of Fame quarterback, but he's a
he could have been if he was tier. On a competent team.
He's a top tier quarterback, and you wasted him, just like how you wasted Calvin Johnson and wasted Barry Sanders.
So, like, that is a team in the offseason. You need to trade Matt Stafford. You need to trade Kenny Golladay. You need to clean house. You need to stop being the 9-win, 8-win, 7-win team. Reset. Start over.
I'd be okay with Matthew Stafford in Pittsburgh.
Well, okay, so here's another interesting one I've got for you that I just kind of thought of. We talked about Carson Wentz being traded. Who would you rather have, Carson Wentz or Matt Stafford?
In the short term, Stafford. Stafford's older, so I wouldn't – if I'm picking Stafford, I'm looking in the next 3 years, 3-4 years. Carson Wentz, you're probably looking at 6, 7, 8 years, depending on how you can get him to work. I just like Matt Stafford. I think he fits the offense the way it is. He's very similar to the way that Big Ben plays. I would love to see Stafford in Pittsburgh.
Do you think that happens? Like, not – do you think he goes
– probably not.
Do you think
he gets traded? 100%. I've been saying it for years. He should have been traded after Calvin Johnson retired. They should have been in a slap in the face to trade him and just rebuild.
Who did they – they drafted Jeff Okuda, what, 3rd overall? And he's struggled this year, right? Hasn't been very good. How many quarterbacks did they pass on?
Not a lot.
But there was –
Hubbard, Tua.
Passed over Justin Herbert.
And Tua and Jordan Love. And Jalen Hurts.
If you redraft right here, are you not taking
Herbert? Someone they needed.
It is, but again, you're a team that, like, if you really need a
corner, to build with the quarterback. You can't continue to do it.
It has to be ripped down.
But unless you're going to trade Matthew Stafford at the draft last year,
that's what they should have done.
But if they're not going to do it, which they didn't do, you can't draft a quarterback. You're not Green Bay.
Well, Green Bay shouldn't have done what they did either.
I have no issue with the Jordan Love draft, like, pick. I think it was great. I think it was LaFleur making sure he got his guy.
Well, I mean, looking at it now with how good that team is, sure, it's fine.
Even then, I thought it was a fine draft pick because Aaron Rodgers is going to retire soon.
I don't know about that. Watch that guy play right now. I think
he's either going to retire or be traded. He's going to pull a Brett Favre or Tom Brady. You know, New England wasn't in the wrong to let go of Tom Brady. Green Bay wasn't in the wrong to let go of, you know, Aaron Rodgers. San Diego or LA, the Chargers weren't wrong of letting go of Phillip Rivers. Eli Manning was smart. Big Ben will be smart about all this. You know, even Indianapolis wasn't wrong in letting go of Peyton Manning for Andrew Luck. It's not their fault that Andrew Luck got hurt, got seriously hurt, and decided to retire before he was 30. Not their fault.
Well, I mean, it kind of is for never giving him an offensive line.
But, like, you can't predict that someone's going to retire. Just like how Kuechly out of Carolina just randomly retiring. No one was expecting that.
Yep.
So it's just like, if you're Detroit fans, they drafted in a need. A guy who, yeah, he struggled, but he's been picked on, and he has no support really. That secondary is horrible. Like, they had needs everywhere. Drafting a quarterback does nothing but put doubt in your team. So unless you were going to trade Matthew, like, if you draft Justin Herbert, 3rd overall. Matthew Stafford needs to be gone by pick number 5.
Oh, he needs to be gone before the draft.
Like, you can't go into camp with a 3rd overall pick and then your franchise quarterback. You can't do it.
Yeah.
Like, so I don't think that passing on those quarterbacks was a bad idea. They need to move on from Stafford, and if I'm Stafford, I want to trade. I want out.
I'm wondering who they could bring in. And I don't think they want to go get Carson. Like, I don't think that's...
You'll probably see, like, a Flacco or an Andy Dalton. Some of these veterans...
No. You got to get a young guy. A guy with some upside. Draft one. You can draft one here.
If you're not in the bottom five, your quarterbacks are relatively slim. It's Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, and then the drop-off is huge.
You could take your shot at Trey Lance if you wanted to.
Or you can wait a year and just go next year, and you're guaranteed a top three pick.
You could, but I think you got to get Stafford gone anyway.
Yeah, but I mean, saying that you don't need to go ahead and get a young player. If you're going to tear it down with a new coach, a new GM, you know.
Or, hey, you know what?
Fuck it. You trade it. Trade it to the Jets for Matthew Stafford. And the first.
Get Sam Darnold back.
Like, bring Sam Darnold, that we want the first overall pick.
But would you – so what are the Lions going to end up picking? Where, roughly?
Let me see if I can pull it up real quick.
It's probably like the
– it's bottom 10. It's easily – I think it's a top 10
pick. It's probably like the 7 to 10 range, I think. Maybe – no, probably higher than that. But would you trade that to the Jets?
Actually, I think they're like relatively high, actually.
Would you trade that for Sam Darnold and maybe
they're sitting ninth right pick? Now.
So number 9?
Yeah, they're sitting at number 9. The Jets, Jacksonville, Cincinnati, Dallas, and the Chargers are sitting in the bottom 5.
Sitting, so like trade Matt Stafford for whatever you want. And then who says no of that pick for Sam Darnold? Is it like, does Detroit say no to that?
Zach Wilson is the third quarterback off the board going to BYU. And then it's Trey Lance at number 12 going to the Broncos at North Dakota State. And this is off of Tankathon.
And if that's the situation, then that means Drew Locke is up for grabs. Like there's guys that you could theoretically bring in. And if they can be your stopgap, and if they prove to be more than that, they can be more than that.
Yeah, I would just, you know, if I'm a team that's looking for a quarterback, I'm calling, like, if I'm Pittsburgh, I'll give up a first round pick, my first and my second round pick, or what, like, if that's what it takes to bring in Matthew Stafford. Hell, I'll give you Mason Rudolph,
See, there's another, like, if you're Detroit, I think a guy like that, that can A, be a stopgap, or B, if he takes off, he takes off. He's your starter. You know, like that kind of guy. Sam Darnold's another one of those options. Drew Locke is another one of those options if the Broncos want to move him. Like there are guys around the league where in a year again where you're rebuilding, if you don't want to take a quarterback this year, those are your options.
Yeah, and I mean you have guys like Andy Dalton and Joe Flacco as well. Phillip Rivers, I think, oh no, he signed like a 2-year deal. But, like, you know who doesn't get talked about? Jacoby Brissett. He could be a guy they go after.
Jacoby Brissett's making a ton of money. Like,
yeah.
$20 million to be. The Colts are spending way too much money on their quarterbacks. But yet, other than, like, last week, they've been all good. Right.
Yeah, like, but it's going to be interesting to see what happens. The one thing I want to talk about, we're hitting the half-hour mark, is fucking COVID. The Ravens can't get their shit together. Literally 4 minutes ago, as we're recording, like as we're going live, a game not reportedly in dangerous player and staffer avoid trip to Pittsburgh, but the Ravens literally just produced 2 more positive tests.
Why are the Ravens being pardoned for this?
I don't think they are. I think they're under – my understanding is that them and I think it was the Broncos – or another team are under investigation and should face some sort of.
But what I mean is why did the Broncos have to play Sunday?
Because they found out Saturday. Okay, like I got into this argument with other people. Like they fucked up during the week, so they must have fucked up on what, Thursday, or they must have fucked up Friday. They fucked up on Friday. You don't like they didn't. It's not like this happened at the beginning of the week. They messed up on Friday. There's no way you don't get – like that's how it works. You get tested Friday. Results are on Saturday. They messed up on Friday night or Friday during the day.
So that would mean that the Ravens had more time to prepare. They should not be playing Wednesday.
They should have been forced to play Sunday. I agree. They should not have been moved to Wednesday.
Like the NFL obviously doesn't care about COVID. I think we agree with that by now. They don't care about the incubation period. None of it matters. It's all about the almighty dollar. So explain to me how the Baltimore Ravens can just say, nah, no thanks. We kind of don't want to play without practicing, and we kind of want J.K. Dobbins back, and he'll be back by Wednesday. So, like, we're not playing. And the NFL is just cool with that. Why? Why does Denver have to play with Kendall Hinton, a dude who hasn't played quarterback since college, and walked? Like, you find out Saturday you don't have any quarterbacks. Why is that game not pushed? What are they supposed to do? But no, you push the Ravens game. Why? Because we have sympathy for the Ravens because they aren't playing well this year? You got to give them the best chance they have to make the playoffs because you can't have Lamar Jackson miss? Newsflash. Well, I mean,
he's missing the game anyways.
Lamar Jackson's overrated. We don't care.
But he's missing the game anyways. I think it's the fact that it's the teams that are playing. And I don't feel bad for Denver. And I'm pissed that the game was moved to Wednesday. Let them fucking play.
Oh, I don't feel bad for Denver at all. They should be getting punished big time for this.
Like, but here's the thing, though, is that you set the precedent with Tennessee.
Yep.
You move games around for Tennessee. You're going to have to move games around for Baltimore. And, yeah, they could have moved the game to Monday night or Tuesday for the Broncos. But they're like, no, you guys fucked up. Your quarterback's fucked up. You guys broke protocol. Your quarterback's broke protocol. So you're going to suffer the consequences. And that's playing with a fifth-string quarterback on Sunday night with no preparation.
Not even a fifth-string quarterback. A dude who hasn't played quarterback in a long time.
I don't feel bad for him. I think the NFL is a joke right now. And for all that, I'm pissed that the Steelers are playing Wednesday night. They're playing on a short week. What the how do the Steelers get screwed? They get screwed with an early bye. You know, with a week four bye. I'm sorry, no one needs a bye in week four. This isn't the CFL where you get three bye weeks, which I think is fantastic. But no one needs in the NFL, no one needs a bye in week four, especially this year. So they have to play 13 games in a row. So technically they get a new bye week now, but now you're playing a Wednesday, and then you're playing a Monday night or a Monday afternoon game against Washington. So you're playing you're basically playing a Sunday Thursday game again, instead of playing a Thursday Sunday game. So you would have gone when the Steelers made those players kind of commented on it. I feel their frustration.
Welcome to the club, Shane. Who's been screwed over by teams testing positive for COVID? Bills and the Steelers. I do not feel bad for the Tennessee Titans. I do not feel bad for the Denver Broncos, and I do not feel bad for the Baltimore Ravens.
I don't feel bad for any of the teams. I don't feel bad for the Steelers losing James Conner. You know, losing Stephon too, it's going to hurt.
What I do feel bad for, though, a Bills team who had to prepare for two different teams because if they didn't play Tuesday night against the Titans, they were playing Thursday night against the Chiefs. That's not fair. And then to have the Steelers prepare for a Wednesday night game and then have to go play Monday night the next week, that's stupid.
Like, it makes no sense. Thank God it's in Pittsburgh.
Oh, yeah, speaking of COVID, also, the Bills have to go back to Arizona this week. Yay. So we can get another Hail Mary thrown in this again? We had it happen again last week.
Are you guys going there against the San Fran? Or are you guys going against
What the hell is wrong with the Bills defense? Why is it so hard to stop a Hail Mary?
Your defenders are short. I don't know what to tell you.
How do you if Anthony Lynn wasn't such an idiot? And Anthony Lynn's the worst head coach in the NFL, besides Anthony Gase. That was
Man. So we're gonna talk about Singleton. There's some fucking CBS guy saying, I don't know if Singleton's good or if the defense is just bad. They're like, I don't know if this guy's an NFL linebacker. Dude's better than I'm gonna say it right now, and I'm gonna say it. Singleton is an all-pro linebacker in the NFL.
It says something when the dude played 2 years in the CFL and was on the all-decade team. People laughed at me. Like, I was talking to some of my American buddies the other day, and they were laughing at me. They're like, oh, the CFL must suck. No. Dude was just
a freak.
He was a freak.
He's a freak of nature. Like, when he went to Philly, I was pissed. I wanted the Steelers to grab him. Wanted him to replacement for Shazier.
Yeah. The dudes. Those dudes this, are the, beast. This is the prime time. I wish we could show his clips. I wish we could, yeah, but the NFL doesn't like the fair use stuff. They don't like that. So.
No, they don't like exposure.
Well, not like we're providing them much exposure, but they don't like fair use. They don't like when people legally show their stuff. But whatever.
Yeah. Man, I really hope we can get something done with the CFL next year.
You know what? The CFL probably won't come after us just because the CFL doesn't take things down when people use their stuff. Just because they don't care. Which is pretty nice.
Yeah, basically. But like, I'm so tired of this no fun league.
Oh, you know what? Let's talk about this. Did you see in the Buffalo game, there was a play where Josh Allen spun the football in front of the defender and
it was called for taunting, wasn't it?
And looked at him. They gave him a 15-yard penalty. A couple of plays later, Zach Moss ran for a first down and threw the ball behind him. Now, sure, it was in the general direction of the defender. Moss never looked at him. He never said anything to him after. He just threw the ball backwards towards the field. 15-yard penalty. Shane, can you explain to me how 30 yards in penalties can be issued for a victimless crime? Nobody can get hurt on those plays. And we have guys that, what was that hit on Ryan Shazier? 15 yards.
What?
That when Shazier was hit in the head, wasn't, or no, that was a tackle.
Yeah. He went to tackle someone and then he got his head caught and like it crushed right. His neck.
Okay. So let's do this one then. That Vontaze Burfict hit on Antonio Brown. What was the penalty yardage on that?
I think it was like 15 yards for unsportsmanlike.
Yeah.
And a game and he got injected for it for headhunting.
So, sure, you can count the ejection. How is the penalty yardage equal on those two?
Because it's the no fun league.
Like, that's unbelievable. Get rid of that. That's so stupid.
That you can't really celebrate a touchdown if you're looking at a defender. You're going to get called for taunting all the time. The NFL, literally, the NFL is the softest sports league. And this isn't towards the players or the team. It's the league. The rules are soft. The rules are pathetic, and they're not consistent. If you hit a quarterback, if you're going to set the precedent of if you hit a quarterback late after he throws the ball, you have to call it every fucking time or don't call it at all. It's that simple. The amount of times I've seen Big Ben get hit 2, 3, 4 seconds after releasing the ball and nothing is called, but then later on in the game, a quarterback is hit like a second after he throws the ball and it's called roughing the passer, it's horseshit. The NFL is a joke when it comes to stuff like this.
It's just something like I look at the CFL and I always thought the CFL officiating was so bad with their chintzy PI penalties and, you know, whenever – like, people are going to get upset when I say this, but when Mike Riley and Bo Levi Mitchell get hit in the pocket, it's a flag. It's different for other guys. Those are soft. But you know what? Like, the NFL has got to be some of the softest officiating I've ever seen. And it ruins the game. Like, those 2 15-yard penalties, I'm watching that. It's like, why are those penalties? Why are those 15 yards? Like, that's so stupid. You change the game for no reason. And I get it. If it's a pass interference at the goal line, it's a pass interference to goal, and that's where the ball should be. If it's a dude getting hit in the head, it's a 15-yard penalty. That makes sense. I don't understand how taunting, when like not even taunting, like the dude wasn't getting taunted. Zach Moss threw the ball back towards the field. Like, that's an official who wanted to make an impact, saw something that didn't happen.
Had a bet on the game,
but. Like, there's way too much power. You saw something that didn't happen, and you gave the guy equivalent to a major penalty. That's ridiculous. Imagine if that happened in the Super Bowl, and it took a team out of field goal range at the end of the game.
Let's be fair. The Rams lost the trip to the Super Bowl because of a horrendous pass interference.
We can get on to this topic. Like, Alberto Riveron is the reason why that didn't become reviewable.
Like, how do you tell? Like, I hate the explanation. Oh, the ball was tipped, and if the ball is tipped, it's fair game. I watched that clip time and time again. I don't see the ball being tipped at all.
Look, I've refereed hockey. I've umpired baseball. One of the key things is to check your ego at the door. If somebody else sees something that you didn't see and they are confident their call was correct, that's the call you go with. Now, that's relevant because with video review on a pass interference, the video can tell you what you didn't see. If you go and watch the video and you realize that, yeah, that's probably pass interference, call it. I don't understand why the NFL is pushing back against video replay. Sure, it slows down the game. Make it fast.
Make it the quick game, and snappy. Don't have a 40-second run, like a 40-second play clock. I hate the amount of people that are like, oh, you need like 40 seconds to run a play. No, you don't. No, you do not. You do not need 40 seconds to run a fucking play.
Now, the CFL clock doesn't start right at, like, the NFL clock starts right at the end of the play. The CFL clock starts when it gets whistled in, but.
Which is fine, but you don't need 40 seconds to call a play.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Okay. So you have a 20, because realistically, play clock should start when you line up because that's the start of the play. That's the start of, like, realistically, that's the start of the play. Once you break the huddle and you get lined up, that's the start of the play, not when the next play ends.
Yeah.
Like, so you know what? Get rid of this, you know, 20 seconds extra for no reason. You don't need 40 seconds to run a play. Hell, you don't even need 20 seconds, 25 seconds to run a play.
Yeah. I agree. Like, again, it's one of those things. I prefer the CFL game. I think the CFL game is more entertaining. I think it's faster. It's more fun. And it's for things like that. So do you want to get in? Let's get into last week. Some of the games here.
I don't know. I think I watched maybe like 20 minutes of games this weekend because I was working all weekend.
As is customary, though, we got to talk about the Bills a little bit because I saw lots of the Bills won, of course.
Oh, man. Before we get into it, I'm fucking annoyed with the the Cowboys losing to the Vikings?
It was
the Panthers losing to the Vikings. After leading, like, this is the second week in a row where I've lost the game lead going into the fourth quarter winning. The Packers blew a lead against the Colts randomly in the fourth quarter.
Hey, and you know what the worst part is, Shane? You thought you were going to be a big time on me, and we do our recount. I'm only down two games.
Well, no, I figured after the win, you were down. You would have been down.
I was down four. I would have been down five. So thought I was going to be down five. Week.
You won last week.
Yeah, but I was still down four games.
So you were down. Oh yeah, that makes sense. Which I mean is fine. I've given you you've gotten lucky in a couple of games. I've given you some easy wins. Fucking annoyed. How do you lose like those two games? I win the weeks with those two games. I'm so annoyed.
So yeah, for those of you who are listening, didn't see our tweet. We did a recount. There were two games in week four that for whatever reason weren't counted in the spreadsheet. They were both right in my favor and both wrong for Shane. So now the records, Shane, you are 114 wins. I am 112 wins. I don't know the exact loss record.
Before you even let me do a recount.
Oh, I didn't need you to go recount. I knew I was right.
Uh-huh, sure.
I did. Because I got the whole thing written down here.
Also, I was really confused on what you were talking about. In week four, I'm like, but our records look the same. So
here's our nice little
I split it so it's easier to friggin' read.
Hey, look.
Because someone couldn't figure out how to do that, apparently.
Look, I don't care.
You're still going to lose.
But anyway.
I've been off the last couple weeks, but guess what? You're going to lose.
We're going to talk about the Bills here. Because I saw a lot of people complaining that the Bills didn't absolutely bury the Chargers this week. Newsflash. I believe the Bills are the first team this year to beat the Chargers by more than seven. Correct me if I'm wrong on any of these. I believe.
Let me go see. I will pull up the schedule and I will let you know.
Quick glance here. The Chargers have only had 27 points scored against them. Oh, no, that one's – no, I'll scratch that one. 27 points is the – or 17 points is the least the Chargers have scored since week one when they scored 16.
So, yeah, they lost 34-28. They beat the Jets 34-28. They lost by 8 to the Dolphins. Lost by 7 to the Raiders. Lost by 1 to the Broncos. Lost by 3 to the Saints. Lost by 7 to the Bucks. Lost by 5 to the Panthers. Lost by 3 to the Chiefs. Yeah.
The Bills are the first team to beat them by a bigger than 7-point margin.
By a double digit margin, basically.
Yeah. Well, sorry, more than one possession, I think, is the exact phraseology we have to use on that. The Bills turned the ball over 3 times at one point in the game. One of them was Devin Singletary, who had been running all over the Chargers all day. It was his first fumble of the year. The other one, Josh Allen, should have just fallen on the ball. Instead, tried to pick it up and make something out of nothing. That's something that he hasn't been doing lately. Seems kind of fluky. He then threw an interception on the very next drive that his arm was hit. If it wasn't hit, probably a completion or an incompletion. I don't think that gets picked off. Now, after that, immediately, what happens? Defense steps up. Tre'Davious White picks a ball off. The Bills basically sack up. They make their stops, and they win the game. So, to me, that was the defense putting the offense on their back and winning a game, just like the offense is doing to the defense all year long. So I'm not concerned with that game. I think mistakes were made, but I think at the end of the day, the Bills defense has been getting better. And Shane, we're about to have a very interesting game, Bills Steelers, in a couple of weeks here.
Steelers, baby. Guarantee it.
All right. Looking at a couple of other these games, the Raiders go from being a legit playoff dark horse to just dog turds every other week.
Yeah, I swear to God. But it's kind of been the year, right? We've seen it happen with a lot of teams. The Titans.
Yep. The Titans slaughtered the Colts. Like, the Bills are in fourth in the AFC now because of that win as well, which, honestly, Shane, gonna say kind of a good thing. I'd rather play the Steelers than the Chiefs in the playoffs. Just saying.
Yeah, sure.
I would. Again, though, like, other team, Arizona Cardinals. What are the Cardinals? Who's coming out of that division? That's still super close. And I guess the Niners just kind of dug themselves back into it a little bit. I don't think they're going to win. Like, I think it's a far-fetched idea for them to win.
I think realistically, now. I think you're seeing this. The Seahawks should win that division.
They should, but I'm also not – I don't know. Like, it's hard because I was pretty sold on the Rams being a threat.
See, I was sold Rams on the Cardinals. The Rams play the Cardinals on Sunday. If they win that game with a Seattle loss – they'll be tied. Yeah. And they play each other in week 16. So really the next 4 games for the Seahawks have the Giants, Jets, Washington, the Rams. I think it's not far-fetched to say they should win their next 3 games. Which also, means
just note in our Pick'em League, we can't forget to write down the score or the results for the Pittsburgh game, because that hasn't happened yet. And I've had to introduce a bunch of new colors to the spreadsheet too. I don't know if you saw that. We had colors highlighted for Thursday and Monday night, and then like Saturday, Sunday games were white. Now we have to have a Tuesday and Wednesday tab as well, which is kind of a pain in the ass, going to be honest with you.
Looking at the Rams, they play the Cardinals, the Patriots, the Jets, and the Seahawks. At best, they should go – at worst, they should go 2-2. At best, they go 3-1.
Sorry, who was that and who are they playing again?
The Rams. They play the Cardinals, the Patriots, the Jets, and the Seahawks this month. They play the Cardinals twice in the last 5 weeks.
2-2 at worst, yeah.
They'll go 2-2 at worst in December. The best situation is they win their first three games. I mean, realistically, the best situation is that they go 4-0. And if they go 4-0, they win the division. Yeah. I think if both the Rams and the Seahawks end up going 3-0 over the next 3 weeks when they go against each other, that division will be handled within the last 2 weeks of the season, because I'm pretty sure the Seahawks end the season against the 49ers.
Well, so the Seahawks, next five games, Giants, Jets, Washington, Rams
and then Niners. So they should go at least 3-0 over the next three games.
You would think.
Which means that if the Rams go 3-0 as well, you're looking at 11-3 versus a 10-4 team going into that Week 16 matchup.
And at that point, who do you like? I think it's a coin flip whether you like the Seahawks or the Rams.
Yeah, I mean, it'll depend on injuries and whatnot at that point. But, you know, whoever wins, if the Seahawks win, then it's their division. The Seahawks just need to win. If they go 4-0 for the month.
But you're also talking about the Arizona Cardinals, who play the Rams this week, the Giants next week. Then they play the Eagles, the Niners, and then the Rams again. So the Cardinals aren't out of it either.
Like, no, but if they theoretically lose to the Rams, they're done.
Yes.
They cannot drop to 6-6 with a loss to the Rams. No. They need to go to 7-5 with the loss to the Rams, because they'll be even. They'll both be 7-5. They'll have the game break, so they'll finish in second, which means that they should be in the wild card spot. Then they should go. They could win. Realistically, for any team to have a chance, even the 49ers, they need to win their next three games.
Right now, in terms of your wild card teams, so if the playoffs were to start today, the Giants win the NFC East. The Packers win the North. The Saints win the South. The Seahawks win the West. And then your wild card teams would be the Rams would be the number one wild card. Then it would be the Buccaneers and the Cardinals.
Yeah.
So the Cardinals are 6-5. Like, the Niners are not out of this. The Vikings are not out of the playoff picture.
No, neither are the Bears.
The Bears are out.
No, they're not.
Not mathematically. Physically,
they are out. Statistically, standing wise, they're not even out.
Shane, they started at 5-0.
I know that. I told you they weren't good.
I picked them when they were good. I never said they would continue that.
But, you know, I think it's interesting to see, because right now you have a playoff picture of the Cardinals facing the Seahawks, which we know how that should go. But I think it's fair to say that.
Do we know how that's going to go? Like, are you fully confident?
A healthy Seattle offense over Arizona, 100%. I don't like that defense.
You know what? That's where I disagree.
I don't like defense. I do not like. Like, let's be honest. The Seattle hasn't been playing with a run game all year because their running backs have been hurt.
Look, if I put you in a situation where I tell you.
It's going to be a shootout, and whichever defense can step up. If
you put a lock on that game, and you were wrong, I put a bullet through your head. Are you going to put the lock on that game?
That's called murder?
Let's pretend like it's not a crime, okay? Let's pretend by this life-or-death sports gambling is condoned by...
I can't put a lock, because who knows what that's going to be the situation. If Carson is in that game, if the Seahawks are healthy and have their running backs... Considering the Seahawks, I believe, beat them twice already this year. Oh, no. Arizona won the first game in overtime, and then they lost the second game. So they have the series split.
But still, it's gonna, here's the thing. It could here's come thing. Down to division record.
It should come to head-to-head really before it goes
if,
to
if
division
If it's record. Head-to-head, then it's 1-1.
Yeah, and then I think it's points four.
It's division like record after that.
Is it division record? Yeah. I know in like NHL and whatnot, it's...
Yeah, they do division record, because apparently, I don't know, like if you're the Patriots for all those years where you just go undefeated in your friggin' division every year. That's more important. Like, whatever.
But, like, I still think that the Vikings have a chance. Like we said, like you said a couple weeks ago, they have a chance.
And this is, like, it's going to get close because if the Cardinals don't keep winning.
If the Cardinals lose to the Rams, they're done, especially if the Vikings can win this week.
Yeah, this gives me home and away record. That's kind of annoying. But
like the Vikings play the Jags. If the Vikings can win this week and the Cardinals lose, they could be sitting out of a playoff spot. And
what I don't know what their
in their last four games, for the Vikings, the Jaguars, the Bucks, the Bears, the Saints, the Lions.
Are you concerned? Like, we'll have to talk about to Tyson about this just because we can, because he's a Cardinals fan. If you're a Cardinals fan right now, are you concerned about the Vikings?
Yeah,
because like the last like handful of games for you, you got the Rams and the Niners. I think, right? Did we confirm that Rams and Niners are?
They have the Rams twice. They have
Rams
the
twice. One,
and Niners the Giants once.
And the Eagles. Jets. Eagles.
Giants and Eagles. Yeah.
I mean, again, if you fall asleep against the Eagles, you can probably lose. I'm not saying you will, but if Carson Wentz has a good game, you can lose. Like, so in the division right now, Seattle is 2-2, Los Angeles is 1-2, Arizona is 2-1, San Francisco is 2-2. Nobody is good record in the division.
Nope.
Nobody. And again, Arizona this week plays Los Angeles. A win.
I think we've established that multiple times already.
A win against them
will have moves you ahead of the Rams. Yeah, which I've been saying for the last like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Clearly, you're not paying attention.
No, I'm just trying to sort everything out in my head.
Yeah. No. Like, so if the Cardinals lose to the Rams and the Vikings win, you're going to have to win out and hope the Vikings lose.
And just so you know, the Vikings, and I don't believe Arizona has played Minnesota.
No, they don't play them. They play like Tampa.
Yeah.
Guess
what their in division record is?
I have no idea.
It is 3-1.
Minnesota's in division record is 3-1?
Yeah.
Wow, that's surprising.
I'm guessing they beat the Bears twice, and probably
they beat the Packers.
Yeah, so they probably
beat the Packers. They split the series with the Packers.
Yeah. So let's check at Minnesota's. I know this is going on way too long, but
they play the Jaguars, the Bucks, the Bears, the Saints, the Lions. So they have one more matchup against the Bears in Week 15, and then they end the season against the Lions in Week 17.
So
the Jaguars should. Honestly, they can beat the Bucs.
I think realistically, Minnesota's looking at a possibility of winning.
I think going 4-1. No, I don't think they can beat the Saints.
It depends who's quarterback in the Saints.
I'm okay with him with Hill.
But here's the thing, right? With Taysom Hill, if you're the New Orleans Saints and you get down in that game and you have to throw the ball, it's over. You're not coming back. If you have Taysom Hill, I don't think he can do it.
He hasn't been in that position. We won't know until he's in that position.
If you're the Vikings right now, I think you're looking at this with the possibility
of 4-1.
I'll give you play perfect, not perfect football, but if you play your best football, I think you realistically bare minimum is 3-2 here. Does 3-2 make you the playoffs? Maybe. I don't know.
See, I think
500, you might make it.
I still think they have a chance to make the playoffs. I think sitting at 5-6, if they go 4-1, they're sitting at 9-7.
I think 9-7 makes them the playoffs.
And okay, I think we also need to discuss the fact that they could expand the teams to 16.
Are we talking about that still?
Yeah, if they need to do something, if they can't, games aren't played, they might just say fuck it. Like, realistically, the last 2 weeks of the season could just be straight out canceled.
They could be. I don't see that happening.
Neither do I. But I'm saying that, you know, if the Raven, if the Vikings are hanging around that last wild card spot, if they're the eighth team, they could slot into that final playoff spot and play the Saints in the first round of the playoffs.
Yeah, I think most realistic situation though is we'd see a week 18 so they can get their games in.
Yeah.
But
they should have 21 weeks.
Like I think you're looking at the NFC playoff picture as like pretty much almost set in stone. I think you're just looking to find out.
I don't think the wild cards are. I think it's a toss up right now.
Well,
not
with who wins. I think we know
the generally. Divisions are pretty much set. I think. I don't see the Bucs taking out the Saints. I don't see anyone. I think the Giants make the playoffs. You know, I don't think the Packers fall out.
No.
And like, I think
generally with who we know is going to make the playoffs is pretty – we're pretty solid at knowing
that. We're in the bottom four. I think, you know, the Vikings have a chance, and I think it's going to be – and who knows, maybe Chicago gets their shit together.
It's just weird because you're still in that situation where theoretically the Detroit Lions could just turn around and make the playoffs still.
Yeah, if they go, 4-1 in the last five or something like that?
You just – at this point, I really do think it's going to be either Arizona or Minnesota that end up taking that last wild card spot.
But here's the thing, though. Tampa could also be bounced. If Tampa loses this week, they sit at 7-5.
Yep.
So they're still sitting in that second wild card spot for now. But then they play the Vikings, and the Vikings are going to be 6-6.
That's this week, isn't it? They play Minnesota.
No, they play the Jags. They play the Jags. Minnesota plays the Jags this week.
Oh, what is happening? I'm looking at the Sportsnet app, and that game's not even coming up. Interesting.
Pretty sure if the score would update. Yeah, Minnesota plays the Jags. I don't know who played. Bucks are on a bye week.
Yeah.
So you're looking at a team that could be 6-6. You're going to be, whatever you are, 7-4. You're 7-5 already, actually. So you're if the Vikings are 6-6 and you're heading into a matchup next week with a 6-6 team and you lose that game, and depending on what happens with if the Cardinals beat the Rams, the Bucs could be out of a playoff spot as early as next Sunday.
So now you look at the rest of the Buccaneers schedule: Minnesota, Atlanta, Detroit, Atlanta. The thing though, I think the Vikings are going to be a tough team to beat because, like I said, I think that team is like a good football team. I think that I said it a couple, like, 3 weeks ago now that they have a chance to make the playoffs and they should be gunning.
Yeah.
Detroit, I think, is going to be raring to go in the last 5 weeks of the season with a new coach.
I think the Falcons win. I think they split the series against the Falcons.
I'm kind of like feeling, I don't know. This, like, it's tough. Do you really see Tom Brady missing the playoffs?
Yeah.
I don't.
If they lose to the Vikings, the best they'll do is 10-6. Depending on what happens with the rest of the division, I don't know if 10-6 is good enough.
Yeah, like, it's weird because with the Patriots, you always felt that around playoff time they'd get better, right? I don't feel that this year.
No, I don't.
The Buccaneers are what they are at this point. They're an okay football team.
Like, realistically,
even if they get the number one wildcard spot and they have to go to New York to play, I'm not convinced they win that game anyway. Like, I think the Giants give them a hard time.
Like, here's the thing. I look at their schedule. Yeah, realistically on paper, you might look at the rate. Like, they should go 3-1, being 10-6, right? If the Rams lose, the Buccaneers are 7-5. You have a straight 7-5 record going on. You have 7-5 across the board.
Yeah.
And they all have 4 games left. If the Vikings win, so you have, let's say the Cardinals win. So you're all sitting at 7-5, and the Vikings are sitting at 6-6. You play the Vikings next week. If you lose that game and the Rams and the Cardinals win that game, those games, you're sitting out of a playoff spot, and you're 10-6 you'll miss the playoffs. Because the Vikings can finish 10-6 if they win out and they have the upper hand.
Yeah. The only reason we're having this conversation about the NFC, by the way, is because there's no point in talking about the AFC like this yet. The AFC is still so wide open.
To a certain extent.
To a certain extent, but like you're looking at Buffalo, Miami, Pittsburgh, Cleveland. You still have to count Baltimore for whatever they can do. Then you got Indianapolis, Tennessee, Kansas City, Vegas. So what? That's 9 teams?
So for it, okay, so if Baltimore can somehow win tomorrow with RG3, and I like RG3, I don't think he's going to cost, and I don't care about their running backs being back. I just think that defense and overall they're going to be shit. If they win, they're going to be 7-4, tied with the Colts and the Dolphins. Best case scenario, you look at the rest of their schedule, relatively winnable. Not guaranteed, obviously. No games in the NFL are guaranteed. But you have the Colts, or no. You have the Cowboys. Should be winnable. Going to be a hard game, but should be winnable.
You have to win that game. I don't care who you have a quarterback. You have to win that game.
If they beat the Steelers and then they beat the Cowboys, they're sitting at what? 8-6 or something like that? 8-4?
8-4 if they win their next two games. Which is
then you have the Browns. And depending on what happens with the Browns over the next 2 weeks, you know, that could be a matchup to decide who gets into that wild card spot. Because then you have the Jags, the Giants, and the Bengals. So over your next 6 weeks, if you win 4 out of those games.
That's not enough.
If you're sitting at 10-6, you actually might be able to do it.
I don't know if that's enough, man.
They need to beat the Steelers. They need to win. They need to beat the Browns, really. It's fine if they lose to the Steelers because of the schedule or whatever. It's fine if they lose to the Steelers. They go to 6-5. It all depends on what they do next weekend. If they can beat the Cowboys, they're going to be sitting at 7-5. You hope for either an Indianapolis or Minnesota or a Miami loss, which could be doable next week. Miami plays the Bengals, so you're probably not going to get it from the Dolphins. But the Texans play the Colts, and you can't really underestimate Deshaun.
So let's look at it this way. If they want to go 10-6, here's who you're going to have to look at. The Bills. San Francisco, Pittsburgh, Denver, New England, Miami. Your 5 games, I think they probably win at least 3 of them. That's me.
Which is fine.
The Dolphins. So that would put the Bills at 11 wins. The Dolphins, Cincinnati, Kansas City, New England, Vegas, Buffalo. They're probably going to win at least 2 to 3 of those. So where does that put the Dolphins?
10-3 or 10-6 or 9-7.
Yeah. Cleveland.
They're 8-3 right now.
Tennessee, Baltimore, the New York teams, Pittsburgh. They're winning at least 2 of those games. That puts them at 10-6. And
but if you can beat the Browns and you both end up at 2-6, you have the head-to-head. That's all you need. 10-6 could be enough for Baltimore to make the playoffs in the AFC.
It could be, but you have to beat Cleveland.
You don't have to beat the Steelers. You have to beat the Cowboys and the Browns.
Yeah. Well, you also got to look at Tennessee, who plays Houston, Vegas, Houston again, Pittsburgh, and Jacksonville.
But who cares?
They should win 4 of those games.
Tennessee, it's either going to be Tennessee and Indianapolis winning the division. Whoever's the better record is going to win the division. All you have to worry about is really Cleveland or Miami. Like you don't have to worry about Tennessee because you can worry about Indianapolis or Tennessee. You got to pick one. You can't worry about either of them.
You got to be careful too because there's 4 teams vying for a wild card spot if they don't win a division, and that's whoever doesn't win the AFC East between Buffalo and Miami, whoever doesn't win the AFC South between Tennessee and Indianapolis.
Yeah, but it's better to worry about the 7-4 team than it is about the 8-3 team leading the division, because the Colts and the Titans are in the same division. So you either worry about the 7-4 Colts and worry about and allow the Titans, because if the Titans lose out, who cares? They're leading the division right now, so they're not even you don't care about that because you're not in their division. You care about the team that's not in the division, in the division lead.
You would much rather be the Cleveland Browns right now. That's all I'm going to say. Because, again, you play the Jets and the Giants. Those are two W's.
Okay, but if they lose the next 2 weeks, they're sitting at 8-5.
Yeah.
Which means if they were to somehow lose to the – like, we can't look at the Giants and the Jets as gimme games in this situation. Because they're not, though.
Well, the Giants, really, maybe. The Jets.
Even the Jets. The Jets, like, we can't – at this point of the season for the Browns, you can't look at a team and be like, okay, well, if we lose to this team, well, we have – like, they can't look at the Titans and be like, okay, well, if we lose them to the Titans or the Ravens, we have the Giants and Jets. Those, like, you can't do that. You have to take each team seriously or you're going to lose.
Yeah. No, I agree.
So if you lose – and especially if they lose to the Titans and the Ravens, they're sitting at 9-5. The Ravens are sitting at 8-5. You're tied right there, and they have the lead. So you can't be looking at the Giants and be like, okay, cool. We're tied at 8-5. They have the lead. And you play the Steelers. Because if you go 2-3 with a loss to the Steelers and the Ravens, while the Ravens should realistically win out. Because after if
I don't know, it's just such an overrated team.
But if the Ravens win the next 2 weeks outside of week 12, if they win against the Cowboys and the Browns, they'll be tied with the Browns if the Browns lose against the Titans. Assuming they lose against the Titans, they'll be tied. The Browns go on to play the Giants, while the Ravens go ahead and play the Jaguars. And then they play the Jets for the Browns, and then the Giants for the Ravens. So basically, and then they end off against the Bengals for the Ravens and the Steelers for the Browns. If I'm the Ravens, I don't care about losing to the Steelers, because I feel more comfortable beating the Cowboys with us being the Cowboys and the Browns losing to the Titans. It's all you should care about. If you're a Ravens fan, I don't care about tomorrow. I really don't care about Wednesday's game. I don't care if we lose.
Well, I mean, you need to win games at some point. So
yeah, but if you lose because you have, you know, half your starters out to COVID, I'm not going to lose my mind over it, because I know that I have the Cowboys coming up the following weekend, and that should be a winnable game. And if you win that game and the Browns lose to the Titans, you're right back into the thick of things, because you have the Browns the following week with Lamar Jackson back, with probably most of your team back. And I'm pretty sure they won the first game head-to-head.
I can check that.
I would feel more comfortable.
38-6.
Yeah, see? I if I'm a Ravens fan, cool, we lost the Steelers, whatever. Like, we're not going for a division at this point. We don't care about winning the division. We're going to go and beat the Cowboys, hope for a Browns loss, which will probably happen, and then go and play the Browns and beat the Browns, and we'll be tied with the division lead and hope that for some reason the Browns can beat the Steelers in week 17. Because if they finish tied, if they're both 10-6, Ravens are in the playoffs. All the Ravens need to worry about is being 10-6. That's all they need to worry about. That's all they need to do. They need to be 10-6, and it's doable. It's very doable.
Last thing I'm going to say before we get into our picks, because we're running out of time here, I would not be too confident in a team that started 5-1 that is now 6-4. There's big-time flaws with the Ravens. And Cleveland, let's be real. Cleveland is a different football team from when they started this year.
100%. But here's the thing. They lost by 4 to the Steelers. Kind of set. And then they lost by 6 against the Patriots and lost by 6 against the Titans. If they beat the Ravens, which they almost did, they became very close to beating the Steelers, they're sitting at 7-3. You know, they have a couple of things go their way. Like, yeah, they almost lost. If they lose to the Eagles, they almost lost to the Eagles and whatnot. Like, very. This is a very interesting team. But I think if there's a team that can win out, it's the Ravens, because I don't think the schedule is as hard as it is for the Browns. The Browns are most likely going to go 2-3. I think that's pretty simple. The Ravens can go 5-1 if you include their game tomorrow. And then they're 10-6 and they're fine.
Yeah. Let's get to our picks. Just a reminder, Shane, you are 114-61-1. I am 112-63-1. Sure. So you can recount if you want, bro. I'm telling you, I know I'm right. Because I was doing my math and I'm like, I don't know how 3 plus or whatever, I think it was 19 plus 3 is 20. So that's how I figured that out. That wasn't quite adding up in my head. I don't know what happened there. But those are the records, okay? You can recount if you want. I promise you, you will get the same number.
Sure.
Here we go. First game of the week. There's no Thursday night game this week, by the way. Just Wednesday for the Steelers, and we did that last week. Just a reminder, we both picked the Steelers in that game.
Yeah, we did.
We got the Saints and the Falcons first up.
Saints.
I was kind of hoping you'd go Falcons there. I was kind of hoping you'd fall for the trap.
What trap?
The trap of, the Falcons like just Hill. Dropped 46, and the Saints, you know, didn't.
I like Hill. I think Hill and that team is better than the Falcons. Can the Falcons surprise 100%, but it was also against the Raiders, so I'm not buying into it.
I just like it would
if
have been
you're
kind
so
of funny.
If you're so confident, take the Falcons. Come on.
No. I'm saying it's a trap. You don't want to take the Falcons here. The Falcons aren't good. They had a good week.
This one's going to be interesting. Detroit versus the Bears.
Yes. By the way, I took the Saints in the other one. I didn't say that, but I'm taking the Lions here because I think the Lions are going to be coming out with a new coach with something to lose.
I'm going to go Lions too. I've been like the Lions. See, here's the thing. I think the Bears are, if I'm reading the score app correctly, the Bears.
The worst football team ever.
But they're the favorites. Really? They're 3.5-point favorites.
How can a team quarterbacked by Mitchell Trubisky be a favorite?
Because they have a better record. That's literally
I don't care. Dude, they were 5-0 to start the year. They've lost 6 straight football games. They suck.
But yeah, if I'm reading the score correctly, I'm pretty sure I am. They're 3.5-point favorites. Mm. The Saints are 3-point favorites over the Falcons. Right. If I'm reading the score app correctly.
Should I go put money on the Lions then? Like,
honestly though, if I'm looking at the total.
What's the spread?
45.5 for the Falcons Saints.
That's over under.
I don't know where the spread is. I don't think they have it on the score app.
Oh. Well, I mean, if the spread is for whatever reason above a touchdown, I'm go put your money on the Lions.
I think the spread might be 3. Oh. I don't use the score app for the spreads and whatnot, so I'm not really sure. They have the total points. And I think the spread is 3.
Now, is it 2.5 or is it
3? It's 3 straight.
It can't be 3 straight.
Well, that's what it's showing on here, which is why I don't think it's the spread. I'm gonna pull up ProLine because I like ProLine better.
I don't gamble, but I mean, if I see an easy win,
maybe that's what we should start doing. Maybe we should start doing some betting on the show.
That sounds like an awful idea and a great way for me to lose money.
Well, that sucks.
I'm poor. Anyway,
maybe I should start betting because I'd actually win some money.
You know, honestly, your bets kind of piss me off.
Why?
Because. Just for whatever reason, every time you pick the underdog, you win. It bothers me. And you know what, Shane? Honestly, when I was recounting, I was seriously hoping I'd find something. I'm so glad I found something. Anyway.
You're Colts the one who messed up. You're the ones who deals with
I
this.
Know, I know I messed up. But I think what happened is there was 2 games played late, or for whatever, I don't know how you ended up getting only 1 win added there.
I have no idea.
I don't know what happened. I don't even want to ask, man. I probably did it while I was at work half asleep anyway. Colts, Texans.
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 Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Why's that?
I mean, I know that I was without Fuller.
He has one good game and he gets suspended for PEDs. I think that's hilarious.
I don't agree with that, but that's besides the point. Okay, so I actually have it on. Oh my God. Oh, they're just showing where they're at. Are this odds? Oh yeah, the spread. Okay, so the spread is 3. It's straight 3 for the Detroit-Chicago game. For the Cincinnati, what game did we just talk about after?
Colts, Texans.
Yeah. Colts, Texans. The spread is +3, or it's 3. Believe if I think it, I
the Colts have to be the favorites in that game.
I believe so. Yeah, they're 3.5-point favorites.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have. Yeah. If I remember, if I remember correctly, the plus sign is usually for the underdog, and the minus sign is usually for the.
I don't know how favorites. Betting works, dude. So
if I remember correctly, I haven't betted in like years. But Shane, I think I did it a little bit.
Am I gonna need to pull the banner out?
What banner?
Am I gonna need to pull the banner out?
I picked the Jets now.
You're picking the Raiders here.
Yeah.
Dang.
Miami is 10.5-point favorites.
They're playing
the Bengals.
Interesting.
The Raiders are only according to this, the spread is 8 points for the Raiders.
Yeah.
On bet 365.
I don't know. Like, man, I am so reluctant to take bets that I'm like, you know, maybe the Jets could cover that. But anyway, Browns and Titans. I have taken the Cleveland Browns.
Really?
I have. And that's because I said for the last couple of weeks, the Tennessee Titans are a fraud.
Yeah, so are the Browns. They're shit.
Their one game does not convince me.
Eric Ebron has the same amount of receiving touchdowns as Kareem Hunt, who leads the Browns in receiving touchdowns with 4.
I don't care.
Browns are garbage.
The Browns thing is running the ball, bro. They're going to be just fine against Tennessee. Browns garbage. Taking the dub by 10.
Derrick Henry's going to run over that defense.
Browns by 10.
Fuck that. I'm taking the Titans.
Browns by 10. Bengals, Dolphins.
Dolphins.
Dolphins by 80.
I think you've just been smoking a little bit too much.
Bro, Tua stinks. He didn't even play last
week. He was hurt.
I know. surprise, though. Tua Tagovailoa is hurt.
Yeah, who would have thought?
Seen that coming. Jaguars and Vikings. Big game for the Vikes. Against the Jaguars, who have lost 10 straight games.
Yeah, 1-10, I think, is the record.
Yeah, and they beat the Colts in week 1. How do you think the Colts feel about that game?
Probably shit.
That's a rough one to lose. Another big man. There's some big games this week. Rams and Cardinals.
Rams.
I have gone with the Cardinals. And that is because I still think the Arizona Cardinals are
Rams, baby. Aaron Donald's going to eat Kyle Murray up.
I don't know.
Rams is going to shut down DeAndre.
Kyler Murray loves.
Ramsey is going to shut down. Shut down completely. Shut him down. Going to knock him out. I like DeAndre. I love DeAndre. He's one of my favorite receivers.
Well, Shane,
but Jalen Ramsey has been an all pro all year. He's going to shut him down. Force Larry Fitzgerald and Christian Kirk and co. to win that game. Aaron Donald's going to clog up the middle like always. I'm taking Rams. It's going to be a 14-point win.
I don't disagree with anything you like said, other than the fact that Donald's going to shut the game down. I think Kyler Murray thrives on chaos, and I think that's exactly what he's going to get. He's going to be able to run the ball all over the place. I'm taking the Cardinals because I believe – I believe in the Cardinals more than I believe in the Rams, to be honest with you.
I get it. I mean, I'm in the – like the Rams, like these are two teams that I'm always very iffy on taking because you really don't know who you're getting week to week.
Yep.
But I'm gonna take the Rams this week.
Yep. That is
– I think we have three different games.
Three games that are different. So I could be up at the end of the week.
You could, or you could be down more.
We could be tied. Well, I'm already down. It doesn't matter. Giants and the Seahawks.
Seahawks.
I'd agree with that. Even though I think the Giants are probably the best team in that division.
Yeah, but it's the Seahawks who are the second best team in the NFC.
Yeah. Are they still the best offense, or is that Arizona now?
I have no idea.
Anyway, Eagles, Packers.
Packers.
Me too. I don't think that one needs too much explaining. Interested to see if maybe Jalen Hurts gets more reps. Like they said he was going to this week, and then he never did. Patriots and Chargers.
Chargers.
I agree.
I'm going to take the Denver Broncos over the Kansas City Chiefs.
Shut up.
Not actually. Taking the Chiefs.
Yep, that's what I did too. I took the Chargers as well, by the way, just because even though
let's go Steelers, 12-0, baby.
Even though New England beat Arizona, I'm not buying that. I think the Chargers are going to show out. And if Anthony Lynn just gets out of the way, they have a good football team.
Steelers over Washington, easily.
Oh, we're just skipping the Bills game?
I have Steelers over the Bills on my phone, that's why.
Oh, okay.
And it's the earlier of the two games. Why would we do the late game?
Because the Bills always comes up first on my stuff.
Yeah, but the Bills is the late game on Monday, and the Steelers are the early game on Monday. So we're going to do the Steelers first.
So I took the Steelers in that game as well, just because
I'm taking the Bills against the 49ers.
In Arizona, that game's going to be interesting.
Just watch some random have a game-winning touchdown against the Bills.
The thing, though,
Richard Sherman
is Bosa hurt still?
Yeah, he's up for the year.
Perfect, he's a torn ACL. The Bills like to suck against anybody who has a good single defensive lineman. J.J. Watt, Myles Garrett, Aaron Donald destroyed the game. Joey Bosa massacred the Bills. Like, not Joey Bosa. Is it the other Bosa?
Joey Bosa is the one in LA, and then Nick Bosa is the one in San Fran.
Wouldn't it have been great to watch the Bills get massacred by two Bosas in back-to-back weeks?
Yeah, but hilarious. And then I'm taking the Ravens to end the week against the Cowboys.
I did too. So that leaves us with three games that are different, eh?
Yeah. So you'll either be down by five, or we'll be tied, or you'll be up by one.
Well, those are not all of the scenarios, but
I mean, I could be up by one by the end of the week too.
It's kind of interesting though how we are like within two games of one another.
I mean, to be fair, most weeks we only have like two or three games different.
I kind of came into this expecting somebody to at some point run away with things.
I mean, I don't think either of us are that bad at picking football teams.
I mean, I thought you would suck.
Pretty sure I've been watching football longer than you.
I thought my game picking – hey, look, flashback 2009. You remember that game that Canada beat Kazakhstan 15-0?
In the World Juniors?
I predicted that score. There was a couple of times where the 67s had games where I predicted the 10-0 final, and then it happened.
I predicted a Bobby Ryan hat-trick in his first game back against Vancouver, and lo and behold, it happened.
That doesn't matter. That one doesn't count. Yours isn't relevant because it's hockey.
You're literally talking about hockey.
Mine counts, though. That's what you're missing. Mine counts, yours doesn't.
Why? 67s suck.
Buddy, they won 100 or more, they won more than 100 games in the last 2 years.
Yeah, and how many games did they lose the 2 years previous?
That we don't count those years.
Oh yeah, because they sucked.
Yeah, actually, that's why.
Get off your high horse,
Shane. You're a 67s fan too.
Your point is what?
I don't know why you're doing this right now.
Because you're talking about how you're using hot. I hope Josh Allen breaks a leg and is out.
All right.
You have to bring Nate Peterman back.
We don't have Peterman. Peterman actually got snaps this week, eh? For the who? Raiders pulled Carr, and they put Peterman in.
Why? Don't they have Marcus Mariota?
Yeah. Nate Peterman's the preseason GOAT, man. The dude always looks amazing in preseason. It just sucks every other time he touches the football.
Who's your backup anyways? And
Matt Barkley.
So you're going to have to go with him.
Yeah, and Shane, I don't know. Did you ever have a chance to watch the Week 17 game of the Bills last year that they played in the rain against the Jets?
Parts of it, yeah, I remember it.
Yeah, they lost. Because Matt Barkley can't throw a football more than 3 yards. Bills fans love the guy, though. I don't get it. He's actually a shit. He's a shit quarterback. I don't know why they love him so much.
Josh Allen breaks his leg.
No, shut up.
First snap of the game.
No. Shut up.
First snap of the game.
Look, you know what? Actually, Jake Fromm is still quarantined. I would rather watch Jake Fromm play football over Matt Barkley.
Yeah, first snap of the game.
Anyway, Shane, let's wrap it up. Also, I don't know if you see what episode we just recorded.
49.
Next episode's a big one.
50 no, is a big milestone. That's true. It is.
Big milestone.
69 is the big milestone.
Shut up, bro. 50 is a big milestone, though. We might have to put together something special for episode 50.
A little montage of like previous episodes.
I don't know if we'd be able to stream it or anything, but we can definitely upload a video.
It's under 2 minutes. We can add it.
As you play with your lighter. Unbelievable.
Fire, baby.
All right, let's end this.
Yeah, I mean, this is a good episode. This is just over an hour and a half long, which we like to do. But anyways, guys, that is all for – I did not take the Jets. I don't know why you threw that up there.
If I keep doing it, maybe you'll take them. Uh-oh, what's he writing? What's he doing? That ain't good.
Way to go.
Oh, you deleted it while I was editing it. Oh, my God. I hate you.
Anyways, guys, that will be all for this week's episode of the 13th Man Podcast. You can find us on all major platforms, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, 13th Man Podcast. We're on Twitch, YouTube. Hey, I mean, honestly, we're going to have to wait and see through the playoffs. But you can find us 13th Man.
I was editing it.
13th Man Pod everywhere. Episode will be dropped Wednesdays. We go live every Tuesday night at 7:30 between 7:30 and 9. You'll be able to catch us live on YouTube, Twitch, Instagram, and Twitter, Facebook, whatever. You can always find us there. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, our Twitch channel. We'd very much appreciate it. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. For myself, you find me at Shane_Ryan97. For Frankie, you can find him at HPR_Frankie13. And remember, we do have other podcasts going on. For me, it's the Sens Hour, Sens_Hour, Instagram, and Twitter. And for Frankie, it's just the Hockey Podcast Report, HPR Podcast on Instagram,
no
Twitter.
Instagram. We don't have Instagram.
Oh, you guys don't have Instagram yet?
Yeah, Instagram won't let us make an account for some reason. We don't know why.
You can find him on Twitter and on Facebook at Hockey Podcast Reports. So, guys, that's all. We will catch you back here live with a brand new episode of the 13th Man Podcast. Thank you all. Stay safe and have a wonderful one. We are in December. We got a month left of 2020. And then January 2021, we're going to have a whole new slew of things going on for you on the podcast, on the website. You're going to want to stay tuned. We'll drop some hints as the last month goes on, but you won't want to miss this. Remember, we have our Redbubble site and our merch on our website. Check them out, 13th Man Pod on either or. But yeah, that's all for today, guys. We'll catch you later.